Holy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Lamb, holy thy Lamb. Holy thy Lamb, precious is the Lamb, holy thy Lamb. Is the love of God, what is the Lamb? Holy thy Lamb, what is thy Lamb? Is the thy Lamb, holy thy Lamb, God is thy Lamb, Jesus is the Lamb, glory to thy Lamb, holy God is the Lamb, Jesus is thy Lamb, the Lamb of God, God is thy Lamb, the Lamb that was led by you. Thy Lamb, what is the Lamb? What is thy Lamb? Jesus is thy Lamb, the Lamb of God, who lives. Thy Lamb, what is the Lamb? Holy, thy Lamb, precious is the Lamb. What is glory is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain for the remission of our sins. That same Lamb is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus appeared in various forms in the scriptures. He appeared as the Lamb of God. He appeared as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And in all his appearances, he sees God, the Son, the only begotten Son of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God the Son. And he came to this world over 2,000 years ago, lived for 3.5 years, and demonstrated the love of God to humanity and mankind. He came to show us the nature of God, the attitude of God, and, you know, he came to reconnect us, to link us back to the Almighty God. He came to reconcile us back to our Creator. Oh, yes, it was the great salvation that he provided for you and I on Golgotha Hill over 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. We need to praise him and worship him and adore him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the giving glory, honor, and adoration. Amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You are worthy to be praised, O God. You are worthy to be worshipped and adored. We give you glory, honor, and adoration, O God. Have your way. Take preeminence. And minister to every one of us that have keyed into this service tonight, Lord Jesus. Give us an open heaven, O God. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit, your power, your anointing to save, to heal, and to deliver, and to bless everyone today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We thank God today We're going to be having prayers, praise, worship, and then the word of God. And of course, we have just done that. The word of God is going to come very soon. And I tell you what, God is sending his word to see, to heal, to deliver, and to bless his people. God sent his word, and his word went forth to see, to heal, to deliver, and to bless. Psalm 107:20. God has always sent his word. Jesus is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And when that word comes, it is the rhema from heaven. It is the rock. It is the sword of the spirit. It is the water of life. It is fire from heaven that consumes sin, sickness, disease, and evil spirits from the lives of the people. That word is coming to you in a couple of minutes, and I tell you, you'll never be the same again. He sent this word to heal your diseases. He's the Lord, your healer. He's the Lord, thy healer. He's the Lord, your healer. He said this word to heal your diseases. He's the Lord, your healer. You are the Lord, thy healer. You are the Lord that sees us. You send your word, O God, to heal our diseases. You are the Lord that healeth. He is the Lord that healeth. He is the Lord that healeth. He sent his word to heal our diseases. He's the Lord, our healer. He's the Lord, the healer. He's the Lord, our healer. He sent his word to heal our diseases. He's the Lord, our healer. He's the Lord, God healed you. He's the Lord, your healer. He sent his word to heal your diseases. He's the Lord, our healer. He sent his word to heal your diseases. He's the Lord, our healer. God is showing me someone that's coming to this broadcast tonight. You have a growth somewhere in your stomach, in your belly area. There are poisonous materials. There are cancerous materials in your stomach, in your belly, and they are disturbing you. You have been taking a lot of medication. No answer. I want you to put your hand on that spot. That stomach, belly area, put your hands there. Let the healing power of God touch it right now. Let Jesus touch that stomach, that belly, that womb. Yes, let those cancerous materials, those sicknesses and diseases that the aim has swallowed into your body unknowingly, be removed in the name of Jesus. Be thou removed by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatever God did not plant shall be rooted out. Whatever God Almighty did not plant, be rooted out right now in the name of Jesus. Be thou removed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, let that healing take place right now. Yes, stomach be healed, belly be healed. Yes, poisonous materials come out in the name of Jesus. Be thou removed in the name of Jesus. Yes, let there be deliverance upon Mount Zion right now. Deliverance upon Mount Zion. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive the miracle healing touch of Jesus in your spirit, soul, and body. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, be made every week whole by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Ah, Rabasa, there's another woman who has come into this broadcast. Yeah, the spirit of untimely death has been pursuing you. The spirit of untimely death has been pursuing that woman. I see in the spirit. There is a spiritual rope tied around your neck in the realm of the spirit. And your enemies are dragging you, trying to choke your life out of you right now. Jesus says, thou art loose by the power of the Holy Ghost. Loose her. Loose him now. Yes, Jesus says, thou art loose from your infirmities. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of untimely death, God rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, yes, that spirit of untimely death, the Lord rebuke you, lose the people, let them go free. They shall not die, but live to declare the works of God. In the name of Jesus, whether it's Christ that lives in us and the devil that lives in the world. In the name of Jesus, Christ in us is the hope of glory. In the name of Jesus, we disarm all our enemies. We disarm all of them. With his grace that we destroy their powers. In the name of Jesus. Yes, greater is Jesus that is in us than the devil that is the world. Amen, Messiah. Jesus came to give us life. And life more abundantly. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment is already condemned forever. In the name of Jesus. We are the apples of God's eye. In the name of Jesus. We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Here, Messiah. He brought to your condolence. Every spiritual, physical, evil arrow. Evil arrows that our enemies are shooting at us. God returned as a sender a million times over to kill those who send them to us. In the name of Jesus, every spiritual, physical, evil arrow that our enemies are shooting at our lives and homes and families, God returned them back to sender. The world kill those who send them to us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Rakabaya Ibrundo operation return to sender. We return to sender. In the name of Jesus, you came to the wrong address. God rebuke you, Satan. God rebuke you, principles of power. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Occultic and diabolical spirit, water spirit, mammon spirit, vampire, Apollyon, representation of the devil. Walking against our destiny, we curse you, we command you, die, lose your grief and hold from the people of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Rabos, Kolobos, Sekenderiba, we plead the blood of Jesus, we call out the fire of the Holy Ghost to pursue all our enemies and consume all of their doom to ashes in the name of Jesus. Rekebo, Yabla, Yala, Abla, Gada, Yabla, Gada, Yabla. Yes, in the name of Jesus, we come against all our central altars, all hereditary altars, generational altars, inherited altars, altars of our parental background, All ties of our family background, all ties that are sticking and walking against our destiny. Wherever you are coming from, we curse you. Hallelujah. We command you, die, be rooted out, be thou removed in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus speaketh better things into our lives now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Rabababaya. Ya blood of God. Yes, our God is a consuming fire. Yes, in the name of Jesus. We disarm all our enemies. In the name of Jesus. God has disarmed all our enemies. Spiritual and physical enemies of our life, our ministries, our homes, our family. And God has disarmed all of them forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, they shall not perform. Hey, Rebusiah, we pull out every stronghold and every power exalting themselves against the knowledge of God in our lives. We pull out the strongholds of our enemies and we ring out every portal by the blood of Jesus Christ. We trample Satan on our feet. God has given us authority and power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us in the name of Jesus. We receive the altar of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We receive the altar of Jesus. We receive the altar that answered by fire. God, you have given us the altar of Prophet Elijah, the altar that answered by fire. God, answer us now by fire. In the name of Jesus, Riki Boya. Blanda. Yes, we must learn to pray spiritual warfare because the days are evil. Satan and his cohort. They are operating over time, trying to wear out the saints of God. The battle is very, very fierce. And only the strong ones shall prevail. Oh, yes. And I tell you, the gates of hell shall never prevail against the work of God in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. God is great and mighty in battle. Jehovah Elion. Yeah, the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the God of hosts, the captain of the Lord of hosts. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He has come to devour all our enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Lion of the tribe of Judah prevail. Lion of the tribe of Judah prevail. Over all our enemies. Lion of the tribe of Judah prevail. Has prevailed. Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed over all our enemies. Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed over all our Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Has prevailed. Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Has prevailed. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Over all our enemies. Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Has prevailed, lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Lion of the tribe of Judah, have been over all our enemies. Lion of the tribe of Judah, have been. After me, the lion of the tribe of Judah, after me. Lion of the tribe of Judah, after me. Over all our enemies, the lion of the tribe of Judah. After me, over principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest of earth. Goodwill to all men. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Oh, yes. In Acts of Apostles chapter 16, you see the Apostle Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. And it wasn't that they did anything wrong. They were being persecuted for righteousness' sake, which is what is going on right now. Christians are being persecuted all over the world. They don't want Christianity. They want people to reject Christianity and accept their false religions and false gods. But I tell you what, you can't stop God. God is unstoppable. And so we are unstoppable. If you like, pull down the churches. If you like, kill the preachers. If you like, do anything you want to do. But this gospel of the kingdom must be preached around the world. You just can't stop it. When Jesus was born, Herod was angry. He said, why should another savior be born while he was alive? King Herod was angry. And he ordered the killing of all the little children, thinking that Jesus would be killed as well. No, you can't kill the vision of God. You can't kill the vision of God. You can't kill the vision of God. It is high time for the Christians to laugh the devil. Ha 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 ha. It is time for the Christians to love the devil. Ha 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 ha. Love the devil. Ha ha ha. Love the devil. Ha 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 ha. Love the devil. Shame the devil. It is time for the Christians to love the devil. Bad proposal, God disposed. You say the gospel should not be preached. You will see this gospel preached all over the world and you can't stop it. Now it is even more than ever before. There was a time when the communist bloc, they didn't want the gospel. And they were even killing Christians. They were, if they see with the Bible, they were ready to, all kinds of things were happening. But today, the gospel has gone into every nook and corner of the earth. You can't stop it. You can't stop God. God is doing what he's got to do. The gates of hell shall never be able to prevail against this word of God. This word of God is God himself, and he's got to go where he's going to. You can't stop him. So Herod thought he was killing Jesus, but Jesus lived for 3.5 years. Herod died and went to hellfire, but Jesus lived for 3.5 years before he went into glory. And they arrested Paul and Silas. They put them in the Philippian jail. In Acts of Apostles chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, that would have been the best time for Paul and Silas to start to regret That would have been the best time for Paul and Silas to start to complain and murmur like most people do. That would have been the best time for Paul and Silas to throw away their Bibles and say, I'm not preaching no more. That would have been the best time for Paul and Silas to throw in the towel and say, look, we don't believe this thing. This thing is not just working. But thank God for Paul and Silas. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, says, and at midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bounds were loosed. See? Paul and Silas never complained, never murmured. They went ahead to praise God. They praised God, you know, even when they were in the prison. Even when all was not well. Just like the story of Job. Job chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Job was praising God in the midst of calamities, in the midst of trials and temptations, in the midst of ugly situations. Job was praising God. And God said, you have passed the test. You have passed the test. You mean you can praise me when all is not well? You mean you can worship me? You can adore me, God? You can praise me when all is not well with you? You have just passed the test. And the Bible says in Job 42 verse 10, Job 42 verse 10, the God healed Job and restore back to him double everything he lost. For 9 months, Job lost everything. Job lost everything. Job 42 verse 10, see, at the end of it all, God said, Job, you have passed the test. You have passed the test. So there is a test. For you to be promoted, there is a test. One day I was reading about Abraham, and somewhere in Genesis 18 or 21, and God tested Abraham. God tempted Abraham. Take your son, your only begotten son, and slay him on the altar. Sacrifice him. Abraham didn't ask God one more question. He obeyed God to the letter. So there is test. There is temptation. So there are trials. It's just like Jesus Christ in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. And it was not easy going to the cross, but he prayed. Say, Lord, if this cup will not pass, this cup of suffering and going to the cross, it's not easy to go to the cross. Not my will, but thy will be done. It's okay, I will go to the cross. He passed the test. He went to the cross, suffered and died, was crucified, shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And that was the test. And then the scripture says, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every name of God. Of things in heaven, things on earth, and things beneath the earth. So test brings promotion. Test brings promotion. And if you go through the Bible, you see so many tests. You want to talk about Joseph? Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Had he fallen into that thing, he wouldn't have gained his promotion. And so the promotion came later. He became the prime minister of Egypt. You know, righteousness exalts the nation. Righteousness promotes people. Righteousness uplifts people. Righteousness upgrades people. Righteousness takes you to another level. But sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. So Paul and Silas knew they were going through a test. And they began to praise God. They began to worship God. They began to adore God. They began to glorify God. A lot of people won't pass this test. I know what I'm talking about. You know, these are tests. Will you be praise God if you were persecuted and persecuted for righteousness' sake, thrown into the Philippian jail, locked up for not doing wrong? You didn't do any wrong. You know, they just hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just hate you preaching the gospel. In everything, give thanks unto God. In everything, praise God. In everything, worship God. In everything, adore God. That is the true test, that you love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. The true test that you love God is that no matter what happens in life, no matter what happens to you, you still love God anyway. Now, watch out for this. What Job, the patriarch Job, what he went through in 9 months, lost his children, lost his wealth, lost his businesses, lost his job, lost his health, lost everything. His health was gone. Everything was gone out of Job's hands. Those things were tests, and Job passed the test. What was the pattern of the test? So you love God more than these things. That is what it means. These things don't move me, Apostle Paul said. These things don't move me. Nothing moves me, Apostle Paul. He said, all these things, they don't move me. So you love God to the point where even though he slay you, you will still worship him. Because Job made that statement. Even though God slay me, I will still love him. I will still worship him. I will still adore him. I will still praise him. And because Job made that statement. Even though he slay me, I will still serve him. I like that. If you haven't gotten to that point, you haven't started yet. Oh, yes. If you haven't gotten to the point yet, no matter what happens, it doesn't move you. You are just holding on to the Almighty. If you haven't reached that point yet, you haven't started. I know people who love God because God is helping them. I know people who serve God because God is blessing them. I've seen people who follow God because God is doing things in their lives. I've seen a lot of people like that. Even Jesus Christ, in the days of Jesus Christ, Jesus was feeding 4,000 people with bread and fish. Jesus fed another 5,000 people, and the Bible says they followed Jesus because he was feeding them. Follow Jesus Christ because of bread and fish. Those people will not pass the test at all. They won't pass the test we're talking about. The test we are talking about, they're not going to pass the test. Jesus fed 4,000 people, and then on another occasion, the same Jesus fed another 5,000 people. And then the Bible says they followed him. Is that a good reason to follow Jesus Christ? You are following Jesus Christ because he gave you bread and fish. No, that's not a good reason to follow Jesus Christ. You don't have to follow Jesus Christ because he's helping you, he's answering your prayers, he's meeting your needs, God is solving your problems, God is blessing you, God is doing this. And God is doing that, and so that's the reason why you are serving God. That's not Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all other things shall be added unto you, which means these other things are not the real thing. The real thing is you grabbing the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things are just, you know, earthly things. You are going to die and leave them behind, you know, and then your real spiritual goes to heaven. And that is the real life. You know, life is the real life, eternal life. That is where we are going to really live. Let me tell you, if you live in this world for 150 years, let's say you live in this world for 150 years and you die, your real life begins when you leave this earth. This body, you go to drop this body, your soul, your spirit returns to God. And where you will spend eternity will matter at that point. If you are going to spend eternity in heaven, you are going to Jesus Christ. The only way, the true way to eternal life. If you are going to spend eternity in hellfire, then Satan has taken you there, and then you are there. So your real life span is your eternal life. Where are you going when you leave this earth? If you pursue the things of this world and you lose your salvation, the scripture of man says, what shall it profit you if you shall gain the whole world and suffer the loss of your soul? This world and its elements shall melt away with a fervent heat. That's what the Apostle Peter was writing in the epistles to this war, and its elements shall melt away with a fervent heat. All these beautiful jets, private planes, mansions. I'm told that in those days, they said that Paris is the most beautiful part of the world. That's the most beautiful part of the world. That's not even beautiful like heaven. See, in my father's house are many mansions in heaven. The real life is the glorious life that waits us above. And so every other thing you see now, they are all temporal. So Paul and Silas didn't care. We didn't care. We were just praising God in the prison. We don't care if they persecuted us for righteousness' sake. We don't care if we die for righteousness' sake, because that was the attitude of Paul and Silas. After Apostles chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, they praised God in the midst of troubles, in the midst of calamities, they praise God. In the midst of hunger and prison yards, that's not the best place to praise God. I know what I'm talking about. That's not the best place to praise God. But Paul and Silas, they didn't care. They went ahead and praise God no matter what happened. They just went ahead to praise God. And that's what it should be. You know, God loves the praises of his people, worship and adoration. And that moves God. Praise moves God. Praise and worship moves God. And the prisons were broken down. They were freed. And they had freedom through praise and worship and prayer. Paul and Silas prayed at midnight hour. There is something about midnight hour, which a lot of people haven't really looked into. If you read through these scriptures, you find out that many of the major deliverances took place at midnight hour. You want to start from Exodus chapter 12. The Israelites have been in Egyptian captivity for over 400 years. The Israelites were in Egyptian captivity for over 400 years. So Bible scholars have it at 420 years. They were in slavery in Egypt. It was just one midnight. God took them out of all that stuff. Just one midnight. There is something about midnight. In midnight prayer, midnight prayers, you know, that a lot of people have not really explored. In this ministry, I'm going to restart midnight prayers again. Yes, I'm going to restart it because we used to do it and it was working. Midnight prayer, midnight service, midnight, you know, word of God, midnight praise and worship, it worked. Paul and Silas, at midnight, they began to praise God. And as they were praising God, deliverance came. That's not the only instance. Then I said, in Exodus chapter 12, it was midnight when God delivered Israel from 430 years of Egyptian captivity. It was midnight hour. That's not the only instance. Then Peter was put in the prison. In the book of Acts of Apostles, Peter was put in the prison. And when Herod put Peter in the prison, this should be Acts of Apostles chapter 12, he wanted to kill Peter. He wanted to kill the apostle Peter. But the Bible says, in the same Acts of Apostles chapter 12, it says, but the church went ahead to pray for Peter. They kept praying for Peter. Peter was thrown in the prison. You know, they hated Christians. Just like today. They hated the light of God. They loved darkness more than light. They hated everything Christianity. Anything Bible. Anything godly. Anything righteousness. Oh, they hate it. Today, it's still like that today. But the gates of hell can never prevail against God. We can't prevail. You may only persecute the Christian, persecute the people of God, persecute the church. You cannot prevail. The gates of hell shall never be able. Yes, after Apostles chapter 12. After Apostles chapter 12, King Herod stretched forth his hand and put Peter killed James. See, Acts of Apostles chapter 12, King Herod killed James, and because he saw that he pleased the Jews, he went further to put Peter in the prison. And he was to kill Peter. He had already planned it. But look at verse 5. Acts of Apostles chapter 12, verse 5. He said, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Peter. The church was praying for Peter. Peter was in prison for nothing's sake, for preaching righteousness, perhaps. You know, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter didn't do no crime, didn't do anything evil. King Herod, possessed by Satan, went and he started by killing James. Look at this, verse 2. After the Apostles of the 12, verse 2. He started by killing the apostle James, the brother of John, and then went further to arrest Peter and put him in prison, wanting also to kill Peter. So all this killing of all these, what have they done? They did not do anything wrong. But people hate darkness. They hate light. They love darkness. You know, Satan came to steal, Satan came to kill, Satan came to destroy, but Jesus came to give you life, and life more abundantly. The church began to pray for the Apostle Peter, Acts chapter 12 and 5. And as a result, at midnight, the angel of God came into the prison where Peter was bound and set Peter free and brought Peter out of the prison. See, another midnight deliverance. In fact, there are up to 6, 7, 8 deliverance, midnight deliverances that occurred in the Bible. I've only picked 3 right now. There is something about midnight. One day I was meditating about midnight. I said, God, what is the mystery of midnight? Because midnight means the darkness is giving way to the light to come in. See? This is midnight. You have 11 p.m., 11:30, 11:45, 11:55, and then 12 midnight. Darkness is giving way to the light to come. So there is exchange at midnight. There is exchange. See? And so it is the dawn of a new day. Even in the military, most of the wars, the military, they use the same method. They attack at midnight. They attack at night. Maybe the enemies are sleeping and then they launch the attack. And then they will outrun the enemy. So there are a lot about midnight. A lot of sicknesses and diseases and oppression take place at midnight hour. So people, when they are sick, when it is midnight, the disease, the attack intensifies. Most of the bad dreams and the spiritual attacks and you know, it comes at midnight hour. And most of the evil things you see happen, they happen at midnight hour. But at that point, you can confront Satan in the realm of the spirit and subdue the powers of darkness. And in the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and let the light of God overshadow the whole place. Yes, the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light of God is shining. Jesus is the light of God. Light has come. Darkness must go in the name of Jesus Christ. Deliverance has come. So captivity must end. There's something about midnight. I'm going to start those midnight services again. I'm going to start them. Yes, midnight hour. Midnight prayer. Midnight intercession. Midnight, you know, word of God. Midnight praise and worship. Midnight, there is something about midnight. And I want you to practice it on your own. Sometimes wake up at midnight and start to pray, even if it is just 1 hour. Even if it is just 1 hour of prayer and intercession. Or if you couldn't pray, then just praise God anyway. Just praise and watch it. You are releasing something in the realm of the spirit. Something is happening in the realm of the spirit. You are detecting the next day. You are establishing the next day. A new day. It is the dawn of a new day. You are putting things in place for the new day. Then he says, this is your day. Yes, that thing opens in the midnight hour. This is your day. This is your day. You are declaring a new day, the dawn of a new day. Where are we supposed to praise God? Is it where we buy a new car, or get a new home, or get married, or have children, or have promotion? Is that the only time we praise God? We need to praise God every time, all the time. We need to thank God in all these things, give thanks unto God. Because that's what God wants. Praise and worship. The Bible says he loves the praises of his people. He loves the worship, the adoration. God is interested in you praising him and worshiping him and adoring him, giving him glory. God is interested when you pray. Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone who asketh, receiveth. Everyone who seeketh, findeth. Everyone who knocketh, it shall be opened. These are very important things. And I tell you, God has spoken to you today, and I want you to be a doer of the word we have had today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want to pray for everyone that has had this word. We have over 1,000 people attending this service online, both from Facebook, Twitter, link, and from the radio, some are on the internet TV, and so on. Wherever you are, it doesn't really matter. But God knows your name. He knows your destination. He knows where you are. There is no distance in prayer. The centurion said, Master, speak thy word, and my servant shall be healed. It doesn't matter. In the realm of the spirit, there is no distance. In the realm of the spirit, there is no distance. So when the centurion said, Master, speak thy word, and my servant shall be healed, he understood that in the realm of the spirit, there is no distance. In the realm of the spirit. And when that word was released in Matthew chapter 8, the word went forth and brought healing. Jesus is the word of God. And brought healing to the servant of the centurion. Centurion's servant was healed the same hour Jesus was talking to him. So I'm getting ready to pray now, and I want you to pray alongside with me that God, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Help me to be born again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, help me to know the truth, that the truth has set me free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by him. Let Jesus come into your heart today. Let him dwell in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Yes, begin to confess your sins unto God and repent of all your sins. Let the Holy Spirit come into your life, into your heart, and dwell in you. Yes, in the name of Jesus, may you learn to pray and praise God and worship God and get into his word on a daily basis. In the name of Jesus Christ, O God, hey, the Messiah. Iblondo reblokondaya. Ible, Iblende, Iblende, Iblendia. Yes, God, reach out to everyone who have heard your word today. Let your word find a place in their lives and make them doers of your word and not just hearers only. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, glory, honor, and adoration. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Please forward these messages to everyone you know. Email it, text it, tweet it out, share it, let it go viral and be a blessing to everyone. Jesus loves you. We all love you, Felicia and I. We love you all, and we say, God bless you all for joining us in this service. And I know God has done you good today. And feel free to worship God in spirit and in truth. And Jesus loves you, and we all love you too. God bless you, and we shall meet again next time. Feel free to call us on the phone for prayer or counseling, area code 202-460-7110 or 240-828-9374. And we are here for you, to minister to you, to bless your life. Thank you so much for your cooperation. Lord, reward you all abundantly and bless you all abundantly. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah, his blood and his family. I was once lost, but I am found. I was blind, but